Pastor's Prayer Fellowship of South Philadelphia. We have not been meeting for several years now, but we did meet for over two decades. And if the Lord had not orchestrated that and we were not obedient to be part of that, we would have never met our guest here today. He's not a guest, he's family, right? He doesn't even need an introduction. I don't even know why I'm doing this, you know, because we know him very well and he knows us very well, praise God. And, you know, I just think about how God orchestrates things. And it's for our job to be part of what God's doing, to be in step with him, you know. Do you receive the push notifications every Sunday? Gloria's right. No, we got to be more than that. Get them. We got 120-some people getting them, and only five raise your hand. Do you get them? If you don't get them, tell me why. Check your notifications on your app. Maybe you have notifications shut off. We send them out every Sunday. Just a reminder, come to church. And this Sunday, I just put the little blurb in there about our brother, Pastor Chitapa, being with us today. And Global Missions Frontier, they're headquartered in Zimbabwe, but it's Global Missions Frontier. And they have a desire, they're committed, right on their website, to a literal fulfillment of the Great Commission to reach the least evangelized people groups in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I should have got a little bit more from us than that. Praise God. That's wonderful, right? And we should support that both, you know, financially and with prayer and with other ways that those, as the Lord would put those things upon our heart. He always would love to have you come, right? We always can arrange a trip. But it got me thinking, as much as we do support missions around the world, our church has had a history of doing that for many, many, many years. The one that got me, the words that got me were the least evangelized people group. I don't know what that brings to your mind, but my first thought was right around here. Not because there aren't like a bunch of churches around, but I want you to be real thoughtful right now. How many people that you know can you honestly say have truly heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not just about him, not just a religious thing, heard the gospel. And how many have seen the gospel, and let's make it real personal, in your life, you know? The least evangelized are around the whole world, even in our backyard. That's why years ago, instead of African Mission, right, Frontier, it became Global Mission Frontier, because the mission of the gospel is ever before us. But you didn't come to hear me speak today. We came to hear our brother share what God put on his heart. And he has much more experience when it comes to the global missions than I have. So let's welcome our brother, Pastor Cleopas Chitapa.
Amen. Amen. Oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I love Pastor Joe. I'm telling you the truth. And I just want to tell you, sometimes it's not many churches that you, this trip was a little bit crowded with so many things. So we came, had meetings in Colorado Springs, then I went to Atlanta and almost got detained because of the storm that was happening there. And Ron kept on calling and he says, are you going to be able to get out of there? I said, well, I'm glad they tell you that it's category 50 or something like that, and slowly it keeps coming down. So for the first time, I spent a lot of time watching the behavior of what is going on in the Gulf of Mexico and Florida. I don't watch the news that much, and I'm thinking, am I flying out of this place? And one thing for sure that I know is how quickly sometimes Pastor Joe would make arrangements to make sure I'm here, even if there is no prior serious appointment in place. I felt terrible. I said, I have to be there because he's expecting me to be there on Sunday. It's so good to be here. Always home at First Christian Assembly, and it's a joy to see every one of you. And so I'm so, so thankful. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, family. This morning, we were almost late. Oh, goodness. And I felt like this would have been the second time when it almost had happened. I'm not sure I told you something that happened some years ago when I was coming to this church. And somehow I was struggling with a headache. And in the morning, I took pills very quickly to make sure that I just make sure I silenced this migraine that I was having. And then I think I only reflected on that sometime later on. Pastor Ron told me, he said, are you aware that the message you preach today is the shortest I have ever heard you preach before? I said, how long was that message? He said, on tape, it's 18 minutes. I said, 18 minutes? Are you serious? Then I found out that when I took the tablet, I took the PM rather than... So you were very lucky that I didn't fall asleep right in front of you, but it was like terrible. So I always think about that, and I think, oh my goodness. So today I didn't take any PM. I'm at work, so we're okay. Amen. I want to appreciate Brother Fred. He is the one who he has been driving me these multiple trips, and thank you for sparing the time to be with me. And I also have two of my very beautiful son and daughter that I would like to ask them to stand up, all the way from Botswana. So some of you would not know where Botswana is. Amen. Thank you. And they've been missionaries in the country. I remember a few years ago, they started work in Botswana, and today there are six different assemblies and separate churches in Botswana in different cities because of the work that they are doing there. So God is doing amazing things, and we are glad for them to be in the city. I'm sure this has been a refreshing trip for them. If you don't know where Botswana is, that's very bad for you because it's the country that is the largest diamond-producing nation on the planet. So if you have jewelry of any kind, somehow you are wearing their stones without knowing it. But that's the country that produces the largest volumes of diamonds on earth. And that's interesting. So this is what brings me back to the thoughts of Pastor Joe's message today. So it's funny that we as missionaries of the gospel, we take long to go to those places, but industrialists and all capitalists have long been there. And they are so much right down into the earth digging every day for the precious minerals. But maybe we need to remind each other that there is also God's treasure in that field. And that's why we go to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like to just spend some time, more than 18 minutes, in Matthew chapter 11. So I want to share with you about something that is truly at the very top of my heart. And it's really about Jesus. You know, sometimes Christianity becomes many things but Christ. But it's really all about Jesus. And sometimes it's funny that people, we can debate on what needs to be shared to these people. What type of gospel is it? Oh, which year are we? Which dispensation? What kind of people? And we talk about sophistication, our advancement, civilizations. And I have learned that there's just one thing that the whole world needs. It's just Jesus. Amen. It's that simple. So I want to share with you something that Pastor told me that scripture could be up there. Okay, great. Matthew chapter 11 on verse 11. So scriptures are easy to remember when you have them that simple. Truly I tell you, among those that are born of a woman, there has never risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. So during this trip, my mind has been thinking a lot about this passage and probably will be sharing a lot more concerning the words of Jesus. Sometimes there are things that are in scripture which we don't spend a lot of time thinking about. Or we pass through there and we read them, but we never reflect further about, really? What is he talking about? So the Bible teaches us the story of John the Baptist being a preacher who came on the scene and probably is considered as the bridge preacher between the testaments, the old and the new. So by the time when we move out of the book of Malachi, historians tell us that God becomes silent for 400 years. And then all of a sudden, a voice is heard preaching. He comes from the wilderness of Judea, and he preaches a gospel of repentance. And the Bible teaches us that then he starts baptizing people, that those who are repenting. And the scripture has an amazing thing that he gets into trouble, finally gets arrested. And when he's arrested, Jesus does not even visit him in prison. And then he finally sends his disciples to go figure out and ask, are you the real one or are we still waiting for another? So Jesus begins a sermon from there. And he says, tell me, when you went out there in the wilderness, when John was preaching, what were you expecting to find? A man in royal garb? No. For those stay in palaces, but not in the desert. A prophet? Yes. But I say more than a prophet. And then he says words that we spend very little time thinking about. He says, among those that are born of a woman, I tell you, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. He says, yet one who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. But every time I would read these words, and I would never really think about, what? Could he have? Maybe it was a parable. Did he really mean that? Among those that are born of a woman, there has never risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Actually, it was not a parable. He was saying exactly what he meant to say. Nobody who was ever born in this world is greater than John the Baptist. But when you think about that, you start asking yourself questions like, including Moses? Yes, Moses included. What about Abraham, the father of the faith? Included. What about Daniel, the man who actually would hang around with lions? Included. What about Jeremiah, the prophet who calls fire from heaven? Included. How is that possible? Do you know how long John the Baptist's ministry was? About 5.5 months. Moses led Israel for nearly 40 years in the wilderness, in their millions, pastoring this huge congregation. And you tell me that he is not greater than John the Baptist? He is not, according to Jesus, not according to me. Jesus says, if anyone was ever born of a woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist. So I've tried to ask this question. How could that be? What is it about John the Baptist that we have never thought deeply about? How could his ministry be so brief? This is a guy who comes on the scene, doesn't do much, preaches just for a couple of months, and then you tell me he is greater than all of the other men that we have ever known of? Yes. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Okay, I will explain that. You see, the thing that we sometimes never think about very much, all of the people that we read about in the 39 books of the Old Testament, they were all pointing to Christ. Every one of them. The difference between them and John the Baptist revealed Christ. What it means is that in God's calendar, or in his way of looking at things, he considers revealing Christ as of greater importance than anything else. The reason why John the Baptist becomes the greatest is because of the fact that God considers the revelation of Christ to the world as of greater importance than anything else. And that is the reason why John the Baptist is greater. He didn't do much. Jesus comes when he is baptizing people. And the Bible teaches us that as he saw Jesus, John the Baptist stands up in that audience and he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's all that he did. And even when he did that, that was enough in the presence of God in his own barometer. That matters more than anything else. Now you wonder, and when you think about this, you ask yourself and say, really? Just that? And that was the most important thing that could be done? Yes. So compare what he did with what everyone in the Old Testament, when you read the whole story of the Bible, it's nothing but the unfolding of the promise. Every one of these men were looking to Christ. They were seeing him from afar off. The Bible teaches us stories about this man. The scriptures say in the book of Peter that they saw ahead. They studied diligently. They were looking forward to the coming of the Savior. Every one of them was thinking about and seeing and hoping for the coming of the Redeemer. One man would be given the grace to reveal him to the world. And that becomes the most important event and the greatest of them all, by nothing else except the very fact that the desire of God for mankind is the revelation of his Son to the world. And that is all that matters to him most. That is the reason why Christ is the center of everything. Think about this for a moment. When you think about the Old Testament, when you think about all these prophets, the story of Abraham, everything about the drama of him going up the mountain, sacrificing his son, and then God appears and he said that on this mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. The story is still about Jesus. You hear the story of that guy called Melchizedek, whose life was so mysterious, no beginning, no end, nobody knew his parents, and the scripture, it's still about Jesus. You read stories about events and calendars of festivities that Israel was observing. The Passover, still about Jesus. What about that great day of atonement? Still about Jesus. Are you telling me, what about this rock that we hear about mysteriously that they would drink from? The Bible makes it clear. And the rock that followed them was Christ. What about all these? Every one of those things was pointing to Jesus. That day of atonement, what about those bloody sacrifices of millions of animals that were killed in the Old Testament? The reason why we don't kill them today, this Sunday, is because there is yet only one sacrifice necessary that replaces the millions that we read about in the Bible. The story is always and only about Jesus Christ. That's the story. That's what God has been busy with millenniums. He has never said any other story, never preached any other gospel, never talked about anything else except about Jesus Christ. The whole story of the Bible is only about Christ. In fact, the truth of the matter is that when you do not see Jesus in the study of Scripture, you have not studied correctly. When you find any other message apart from Christ, you have not found the real sender in the nucleus of the gospel. The Bible is about nothing except one subject, Jesus Christ himself. And that's all God ever wanted the world to know. To know Christ, to know about his son. So recently I was sharing about Charles Hudson Spurgeon, one of the greatest English preachers of all time. And he would have a statement that he would say, he says, your sermon can have 3 points, it might have 5 points. But if Jesus is not the whole point, you have missed the point. And he would always say, the best way to understand the universe is to, when the center, the sun is at the center of the universe. He said, once you take the sun from the center of the universe, everything becomes confusion. And believe me, our Christian journey, sometimes we have all these other things that become our attraction and our reason for being in the house of God. But in reality, it's all about Jesus. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's really only about Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I find it very interesting. When I teach at home, I always tell people that when you come to church, there might be 1,000 reasons to offend you. But Jesus said, blessed is him who finds no offense in me. Now, you can tell me that you have every reason. Sometimes you actually wonder, what makes Christians leave church? You find strange reasons. I don't like his beard. I don't like the shoes of the worship leader. I don't like the fact that she does this. I don't like the drama. I don't like this, that Asha is ugly, or this. Many things. The pastor's wife said this to me. Stuff that you just can't believe. You did not come to church because of anyone except Jesus. The reason why you came is the reason why you stay. I don't stay in church because people are nice. No. I don't know all these people. They were raised by different mothers. That's all I teach people, that it's easy to survive church. The simplest way, keep in mind all the time, not everyone was raised by your mother. When you do that, you will always survive church. There is no problem. There are all kinds of people in church. All of them came for Christ. You came for Christ. Now, the reason why I never leave church is because of the fact that I did not come for you, I came for Jesus. The reason why I came is the reason why I stay. Because he's still in the house. If he has never taken offense by these people enough to leave, I am going nowhere. You know, sometimes, even when people try to tell you that they leave church, sometimes it's an expression of self-righteousness that is terrible. You see, Jesus is holier than you, and he is still here in spite of the dozen hypocrites that you can name in your church. He never left church. He is still here in spite of all the things he knows and the others you don't know. And he has still never left church. Jesus is still here. You know the kind of stuff about you that I do not know? I'm thankful to God that I don't know them. Because that will take me to hospital. But the truth of the matter is, thank you, Jesus, that I don't know enough about you. Sometimes I find in our part of the world, there's a lot of people that I say, I have a prophetic gift. I can prophesy. I always look at people and they say, you know what? The last thing you need to tell me is the sins of another man. There is a reason why God kept me ignorant of those sins. Because it actually safe for me. I don't want to know about that. But tell me about Jesus, the Savior of the world. So you see, you know, the thing that we really sometimes miss is the fact that he is the sender of our story concerning redemption. He's all that we were called to focus on and to look at. I would teach many years ago, I used to teach in school and in a Bible college, and I would say, preach Christ. And sometimes students look at you and say, preach Christ? What do you mean? Jesus every week? Yes. Every other day, everything else, Christ, Christ, Christ. It's all about Jesus. How could that be gospel? There must be some other things that we should spend time focusing on. And I would always say, you know what? So every time when we would be closing college, graduating a class, people would say, okay, you have your last sessions to speak to the graduating class. And I would always say, remember what I always say, preach Christ to the world. Because that's all that God wants the world to know. And that's the only knowledge that changes mankind. And people would say, what do you think is your best example in the Bible? Or what would you give as the best example about preaching Christ? And I would say, synoptic. The Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I say, if you keep that, you will be amazed. You read those stories. If you read Matthew, you wonder whether the man who wrote the book is the actual text collector that we read about. The story is in Matthew chapter 9. That's the day that Jesus actually found him. And you would, when you read the story, he records it like as though it's another person. There was a text collector, a sinner. And Jesus actually came to his booth. He talks about it the way how Christ actually gave mercy to him. And I always say, do you know what Matthew 9 would have sounded if it was written by a modern day man? Matthew 9 alone would have been bigger than the whole Bible. He would have started weeks. I was just feeling it in my spirit. I didn't know what was going on. And I just could wonder what was going on. But somehow I told my wife and I told my secretary, I said, you know what, there's something going on, but I just can't place it, you know. Tons of words just describing his own personal feelings. He would talk about his office that day. He would talk about how he told his secretary that fix everything because this might be an important event that is going to happen. He would talk about his sitting in his office, his chair. He would describe the day that Jesus came to his house. He would talk about the dinner table, how everything was impeccable, how he prepared frog legs for Jesus and a little bit of some chicken and it was all. He would describe his wife's dinner dress. He would talk about the fact that she had this Louis Vuitton dinner garment that I had brought from Paris. And he would describe how she descended from the staircase coming down to meet Christ. It would be rumblings and rumblings. You would never find Jesus in the story. What is the difference? They kept the purity of the gospel. They wanted to make sure that the story becomes of only one, Jesus himself. They wanted to make sure that they step away from the pedestal so that only one is exalted. That is our calling. If the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw many nigh unto himself. Our job is to glorify him in the earth. When you read the story, this is why you find John the Baptist becoming the best model. The Bible teaches us that. And they came to him and they told him that, do you know that that guy whom you baptized the other day is also now baptizing? John looks at them and he says, didn't you get it? I thought it was clear to every one of you. I told you that I'm not the Messiah. I was the one who was sent ahead of him. He is greater. I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. You need to understand that he must increase and I decrease. Because him that cometh from above is above all. He made it clear it's all about Jesus. And our church and everything that we represent, our witness to the world is only about Jesus Christ. Sometimes I can find that we can run into arguments of every kind concerning all kinds of things, but I have no problem just telling one wondrous story. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about Christ himself. You know, so one of the things that has sadly happened in the world today is because of the church. The church has become so many things, and we are busy marketing all kinds of things. You know, believe me, everything we do, even if you find us doing charity work, it's because of Jesus. If you find us doing anything, it's actually a way of communicating the love of Christ to the world. Because the story is still only about Jesus Christ. That's all that we stand to proclaim and to preach. Now watch when I told you at the beginning that the story is really only about Christ. And sometimes it's funny because when you think about it, you say, could it not be of any other story? This morning, actually, when I started, I decided to read the whole story, the book of John chapter 3. And I was very interested because of the fact that part of the narration concerning how John gives a response to the people comes from the book of John chapter 3. And at the very beginning, Jesus is teaching. And John talks about the fact, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but ever. We love that part. But the 17th verse took a toll on me this morning. And he says, for the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world. That's Jesus speaking. I did not come into the world to condemn the what? The world. But if anyone does not believe in the Son, he is already condemned. You know, I thought a lot about that statement. Because they have not believed in the words are so important, in the one and only. So this answers America a lot. When we are in a culture of pluralism, and we think there could be other ways that men can be saved. Maybe there are other avenues. How could it not be? How could God? I heard one popular person in this country asking, how could God have only one way to save men? But I'm telling you, that's why Jesus actually mentions what he mentions in verse 17. He says, let's say you don't believe that. You are already condemned right now. Because no matter what your search and how long it will be, you are not going to get there. Because there is only one and only. A man can only be saved by believing in Christ. There is only one name that was given under the sun through which man can be saved. The man Christ Jesus himself. I can assure you that this gospel is relevant for every culture on the face of the earth. That's why the scripture says, whosoever, no matter where you come from. So look at me. I stand in front of you today. If you knew where I was born, I can vow to you that even Google Earth, you are not going to find it. I mean, right in the village somewhere in the heartland of Africa. Totally unforgotten part of the world. I tell people it took many years for me to see a television. I was telling Cynthia the other day that I teach my children about reading and hard work. When I hear about private schools, we were so poor we couldn't even afford a textbook. I would read books with firewood. Everything you hear me today talking to you about, I would sit down, I would borrow books from those that could afford a textbook. And I would ask for it for the night and sit down by a fire, pile up firewood, and use that to read pages and pages and pages. And I had to graduate learning like that. And yet, Christ came and found the waters that I was baptized in a river. The dirtiest that you could ever find. I'm still born again until today with that kind of water. You see, all of these things that sometimes you fancy with and you think they have anything to do with salvation, they don't. The story is only about Jesus Christ. My first time to come to America, I went to a church my professor used to pastor somewhere in Nashville. I was impressed. The baptismal pool was somewhere at the bottom. They would raise it with an elevator. It had neon lights inside. I felt like getting baptized again. I mean, it looked so fancy and nice. And I'm trying to make a comparison between my own baptismal experience with what I'm seeing right there. But suddenly I realized it's one baptism. In those dead waters in that creek in my village, I am still saved. Why? Because it's only about Jesus, and it's Jesus alone. Now, I like what I was seeing, but it's still about Jesus. And I stand today, you will meet me up there. We will be together all the way from that river. We're still together. I mean, it's like these waters will be so dirty that on one end a donkey is drinking and doing what this is doing. On the other side, another woman is washing her laundry. And on this side, I'm getting baptized in the name of Jesus. It's working at the same time. But I found one thing for sure. He is the Savior of the world. And when he says whosoever, he means whosoever. No matter where you come from, where you were born, what your history is. If you come, you take that journey to the foot of the cross and you accept his lordship as Lord and Savior. You are part of the very eternal hope that he has given to the redeemed. You miss nothing when you are in Christ. So Paul spent all his preaching years bragging about this. And he would talk about the excellency of knowing Christ. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I had a heritage. I was educated under Gamaliel. You can call me a Hebrew of other Hebrews. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin. And I was circumcised on the eighth day of Israel. But when I look at all that, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, I consider my heritage as dung compared to the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He realizes that none of all the things that could have been part of his pedigree were worth anything compared to knowing Christ. That's why he would write to the Philippians and he would say, beloved, that I may know him and the power that brought him from the dead. That's all that I celebrate and I rejoice in knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He would write his own son, Timothy, and he says, son, I am old now. Just so you know, I know him in whom I have believed in. And I know he is faithful and just to keep that which I have entrusted to him against that day. I have no dismay in me. My heart is confident. I know where I am going. My hope is in Christ. It's not in a man, but in a Redeemer and a Savior. The price was paid by one only, Jesus Christ. There is none other but Christ. You know, I can meet anyone on the planet. You can try to boast to me about your religion. I still know him that conquered death, who still said, I have the keys of hell and death. I am him that was dead, but behold, I'm alive. That's what he said. It's all about Jesus. You know, I conclude this by saying to you that, think about this for a split moment. How sometimes words can be confusing to us. The Bible teaches us that Jesus then says, but him that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. That's even a paradox. What are you talking about? So you've just told us that every one of these people in the Old Testament, no one is greater than John. Yes. For what reason? Because he revealed Christ to the world. And that is the greatest desire that God has for humanity. It matters to God most. But why would he then say, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist? Very simple. Everyone in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. John the Baptist revealed Christ. But everyone in the kingdom has accepted Christ, not only is seen, but lives inside them. And Paul explains what that means. It's called Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is even greater. It's still about Jesus. But he wants you to know that not only is seeing Christ important, but having him residing in you is even greater. To know that Jesus lives inside you matters more than anything else. And I am so, so glad. You know, when we sing all these songs like, I'm a friend of God, it's only because of the presence of Christ. One man did it all and broke the wall of partition to bring us into friendship with God. We were aliens. We were far away from God. But the wall of partition was destroyed. Today we can call God our friend. We can make a claim like Abraham and claim a special relationship with the Father because of the blood of the Lamb. We are loved and accepted in Him. I don't know anything else to know in this life more than knowing Christ. That's the greatest pursuit. That should be all that our desires. No wonder why Paul, sometimes I go places, new places, sometimes among the tribes of Africa, and I always tell them that I always make it a point to read Corinthians. When Paul speaks and he says, when I came among you, brothers, I desired to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him only crucified. And I will always make it an entry point for everyone to understand. I come with nothing but Jesus. And I believe in His all sufficiency, that if you receive Him, in Him all fullness dwells. Oh, that's all that you ever wanted. Oh, people would look at you and say, what about money? What about food? What about shoes? What about suits? What about that? And I'm saying, all of those things, they are good. But remember one thing, in Him all fullness dwells. You know, I used to teach a story, which we do use a lot in many crusades, many times, about the story of an art collector who was a rich man. And he had all these amazing pieces of art, Picassos, Van Goghs, and every kind of expensive multi-million dollar pieces of art. I remember one time I was in Madrid, and they took me to the museum, which is one of the most guarded museums on the planet. And what are they guarding? These works of art. Priceless works. This rich man had a son who served in the military, say Afghanistan. The son dies, and then when the son is dead, one of his friends actually did a portrait of him before he had died. Months later, a knock comes on the door of the rich man. This young soldier presents this canvas and he says, your son was a friend of mine. I did a portrait of him. I just thought you can have this. The man takes the piece of art and hangs it together with these priceless works that he has in his gallery. But one day the rich man dies. And he leaves a will. The estate is going to be auctioned. People come from all over the world to buy these works of art. And they descend on these auction floors. The auctioneer stands in front and he says, ladies and gentlemen, the auction has begun. But the instructions of the estate are instructions. We begin with this picture, the picture of the sun. People are disgusted. We didn't fly all the way to come to buy someone else's son. We want the Picassos. What happened to the Da Vinci's? Say, no, I understand, we'll get to that. But the instructions of the estate is that we begin with the portrait of the son first. And then we'll go to the rest of the other things. People are upset. Until one guy tries to get this thing out of the way. He says, okay, $50. $50, I will just take that. He says, $50? Anybody else? Once, twice, sold. The auctioneer takes a deep breath. He says, thank you for coming. The auction is over. What do you mean the auction is over? He said, because the instructions of the estate is that whoever gets the son gets them all. And that is the story about Jesus. When you get the son, sometimes we are busy with all the other things. No, he told us that seek ye first the what? The kingdom. What happens to all the other things? They will be what? Ended. That's all that we need to see. It's all about Jesus. It pleased the Father. In Him all fullness dwells. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
I was thinking in the same gospel, several chapters later, Jesus takes a few of them up to the mountain where he's transfigured, where they see Moses and who else? Elijah. And they hear the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son. And they cower in fear. And And Scripture says Jesus goes over to him and says, don't be afraid. And when they look up, the Scripture is very clear. And they saw only Jesus. You can't have the Father. You can't have the glory unless you have Jesus only. That's the message we carry. That's the message by which we are saved. That's the message we needed to hear today. That's the message which is now our marching orders to fulfill the Great Commission to the least of those. Yes, pray. And we're going to pray for our brother and Global Mission Frontier and the least around the world, but the least in our backyard. The ones that need to hear and to see Jesus alive in us. And there's a lot of intimidation. I understand that in your natural flesh. But if you remember who you now are in Christ, do you remember what he has done for you? You were the woman caught in adultery. And when all the accusers were there, after they left one by one, only Jesus stood with her. And he's the one that forgave you and your sin, since what they were. Only Jesus. What you have been forgiven now, ask him to give you the boldness and go share that same gospel of forgiveness with somebody else and let them see him alive in you. The glory of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Father, thank you today. Father, we thank you for our brother as he's come to share with us, as he's around this country and at one point going back to the home base, Lord God. And thank you for this wonderful ministry that has touched so many people around the world. Father, help us today as we pray to say, Father, what would you have us do to help this gospel ministry go forward? How can we pray? How can we share? How can we give? How can we be a part of it in a greater way? We pray for him and his family and all that he loves. We pray for all those that are doing the work of the gospel around the world. We pray, Lord, you would bless them, keep them, protect them, embolden them. Lord, provide in every way as only you can that this work will continue to go forward. But then we say, Father, as they are doing their work, help us to look in our own hearts. Are we doing the work that is left before us? Are we, Lord, desiring with a great desire to see the literal Great Commission fulfilled in our family, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, where we work, where we shop? Do every day, Lord God, we recognize that people need to know Jesus. And that's the only name, Lord, under heaven by which they may be saved. And that's the gospel, the name of the gospel of which we carry, the name of Jesus. Lord, revive within us a heart of evangelism. Revive within us a heart for the lost. Revive within us, Lord, a heart to know you more, Jesus. And as we know you more, Lord, I know you will impart to us a greater love for those who do not know you, that we may fulfill the work you've left us here to do. So, Father, we thank you today. Let your word, as we know you promised, not return void. So not only we pray, will it not return void, but Lord, would it, Lord, have its maximum effect? Would it bear much fruit within us today? And as we leave this place, Lord, let us not forget what we've heard and continue to pray for the work around the world, but the work in our own backyards. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, sing. There are a lot of songs we can sing about only Jesus, you know. But then don't rush right out. Encourage one another and pray with one another. He's the lover of our soul.